Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be encouraged in your journey and that your relationship with Father God will be strengthened and deepened. We hope you enjoy this week's message from our guest speaker.
I got to watch my time this morning. I want to talk to you a little bit about being sober and watchful. Would you say be sober? We're not going to talk about drinking, okay? But be sober and watchful. It's a really important time. And in our passage, we'll look at it in a moment, if you could put that up. It's in 1 Peter chapter 4. Peter is, he's coming to the end of his life, right? And so when the apostles were coming to the end of their life, they got really tuned in to what is important. How many know when you come to the end of your life, you start thinking about what's really important? And you know, that this is where Peter's at. He's working with a group of Christians who were kind of part of the dispersia. They got dispersed under the first kind of persecution, and they're all in different parts of the world. And this particular group would be in what we would know today as Turkey. And so they're undergoing pressure. They're undergoing some persecution. Now, historians say that it was really a light form of persecution, but really a little bit later, they were going to come under strong persecution. And there was some real attacks that were going to come to them. But Peter is starting to kind of outline for them, hey, what is going to happen? What do you need to have? How many know when you're in the midst of struggle? Have anybody go through struggles, or am I the only one? Come on. You're the second crowd. Your hand should be going up, okay? Because you're fully awake, okay? First crowd was like, I'm not sure they were awake or not, right? They're here. They're the morning crowd. But listen, we all go through pressure, right? And we all go through conflicts. There's conflicts, internal conflict, external conflict. And so how we handle that is going to determine our success. It's going to determine what we're living for, what's important. And so Peter is outlining some things for us. What's important? Come on, say what's important. All right, 1 Peter, let's read it. It says, by the end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious. Come on, say serious. That's another word for sober. Be sober and watchful in your prayers, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. Somebody know God supplies. Amen. And then he says, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Everything we do, everything we exist, I would hope this would be your heart's desire, is we want to bring glory to Jesus. Amen. Come on, we want to bring glory to Jesus. And so there, like I said, there were some external forces that were kind of pressuring these young believers, really, just a group of new believers. And so where was the external? Well, there was the Roman government, obviously. There was the culture of the day. The culture of the day is very similar to the culture of the day here. It's just gotten worse. And there was a lot of pressure in the culture to conform. I was sharing this with the young people on Wednesday. There's this pressure that causes us to want to think a certain way. The world wants us to think a certain way. The world wants us to just accept everything that they're feeding us. And that's an external pressure for a believer, for somebody who's trying to glorify God in all things. And so there was going to be some external pressure coming in AD 64. Nero, who was a bit of a nutball, he began to persecute the church in a very specific way. And ultimately, both Paul and Peter were put in this prison called the Mamertine Prison. And that Mamertine Prison was a dungeon. And it was actually a very specific prison. The only people who were allowed to be put in that prison, or who were put in that prison, were people who were direct threats to the Roman Empire. So I want you to see this. Paul and Peter, men of God, who were diligently trying to serve God, who were pushing teaching against the narratives of the day were put in this prison, and Rome considered them direct threats to their government, to their way of life. Man, wouldn't it be awesome if there were a group of Christians who would be literally direct threats to what was going on in the world? I'm not talking, you know, insurrectionism, being in government and crashing government. But what I'm saying is your life is such a life that people would recognize that you are a problem. In a good way. We want Christians to have good problems, but we're pushing back. Our lifestyle is so counterculture. And I think that's what Peter's trying to say here is, look, let's be Christians who are counterculture. Would you say counterculture? Counterculture. That we would be counterculture. You know, there is a corruption in the world that is decaying and trying to get into our hearts, get into our mind. And God wants us to escape from that. Now, listen, if he's coming back and we escape, that's great. But what I found the Lord is he doesn't always do that, you know, that you know, just supernatural thing. He causes me to escape by making choices, living my life according to his word. And that's how we escape the corruption that's in the world. Then there's this internal force that was happening. So external pressure, you know, issues in society, voices in society, but then there's the internal pressure that was in the church, that there were false teachers who were teaching against the deity of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, and they were trying to pull them away from strong doctrinal beliefs. And a lot of times they were offended. These men were offended. They were living according to their own desires. You can read it in the Bible. Paul and Peter talk about how these guys were like whitewashed tombs. They were religious. They were trying to infiltrate the church. And then there was pressure of discouragement. Anybody here ever get discouraged? How about disappointment? Man, I've had my fair share of disappointments this year, and it's been a whole new level of trying to navigate. In my really 12 years of traveling, I've had very little discouragement and disappointment. But this year has been one of the worst years of disappointment. Now, I'm not asking you to, you know, pity me. I'm just saying it's the enemy has tried to put some internal things into my heart that would try to discourage me and try to defeat me. And I've had to learn that I've got to stand in what I know and stand in the truth and not let internal pressure dictate how I'm going to live my life. Amen, Gary. Hallelujah. I'm just going to cheer myself on. Okay. Now, in the Bible, in 1 Peter, you could read, if you just took about maybe 20 minutes and just read the whole book of 1 Peter, you get a key theme that he's trying to say to the children of God. He's trying to say this: grow in the knowledge of God. He keeps saying that over and over. In fact, 7 times he encourages us to grow in the knowledge of God. One point he says, add to this, add to your faith hope, add to your faith perseverance. And he goes through, keeps saying, hey, keep growing, because if you grow in the knowledge of God, you're going to be effective. You're not going to be, you're not going to be unfruitful. You're not going to be barren, but you're going to be fruitful in the work of the Lord. And so in this thing, remember when Paul, he said this, he said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed. And so knowing Christ, knowing what you know, it's kind of like someone would say, like my mom used to say, I know in my knower. Anybody's mom used to say that? Like, I know in my knower. You can't tell me otherwise. I know in my knower. In other words, we've got to know God. See, if we know God, our knowledge of God will help us in our difficult times, in the times of pressure. When you're in times of pressure, it's you've got to focus more and more on knowing God. The people, the Bible says, that know their God will be strong. It didn't say you're going to be weak. It says you're going to be strong and you're going to do exploits for the kingdom of God. Come on, how many want to do exploits for the kingdom of God? And so let's look at five quick things that Peter says in this moment. He's saying, hey, I want you to have some mindsets when pressure's coming on you. I want you to have certain crucial conducts that you need to have. Number one is you've got to be eternally minded. Watch what he says. But the end of all things is at hand. And Barclay, not Charles Barclay, this is a theologian, but he says, when people realize the shortness of their time on earth, they are bound to commit themselves to a certain kind of life. Are you bound to commit yourself to a certain way of life? Because if you're not, you'll get pushed by everything. But if you're bound in your heart to say, this is who I am, this is who I will be, this is what I'm living for, I'm living for eternity, I'm living for God, nothing's going to shake me, it doesn't matter what happens in the economy, doesn't matter what happens around me, I am living for God. And so that's what Peter's saying. He wasn't preaching an end times message so much as letting people know that everyone has a certain time frame to live. And so for Peter, how they lived and conducted their life was crucial because there is a spirit working to distract them from the things that really matter. I know you don't get distracted here, but I get distracted in Ontario. Anybody get distracted? That's one of the biggest ploys of the enemy. He's trying to distract us from our mission, from where God has, what God wants for us. And so Peter understood that life can change quickly. It can change decisively. And so he was encouraging everybody, and I want to encourage you, to have and live with eternity in our hearts. He understood that in most cases, living in foreign lands, they were a hostile environment for them and their way of life. And so, listen, I think we have to temper our expectations. The world is not for us. It's not for the church. It doesn't like the church, right? Come on. It doesn't like it. So you got to temper your expectations. You got to say, hey, I'm not living for here. I'm living for eternity. I had a leader in my church. He was one of my small group leaders, and he was a good guy. I wouldn't say he was the most dynamic leader that I had, and always had issues with him and kind of encouraging him. Took a lot of my energy and time. One day, about 3 years ago, he went through a very rough season in his life, a tremendous season. Internal, external pressures came on his life. And just praying with him and just encouraging him. And he came to this moment where the prophetic came over his life. And from that moment, literally in the last 3 years, he's led 1,100 people to Christ. 1,100. I asked him, I said, can you tell me how many? And he goes, Pastor, I'm only telling my brother. I said, look, I'm your pastor. Tell me. He goes, I don't want anybody to know. I said, well, I won't tell anybody in Ontario, but I will tell everybody in the world. And so I was, we were kind of in the bank line and his car was behind me, and he came up and he knocked on the window. I said, hey, how you doing? And he goes, I said, how many people have you led to the Lord? And at that time he had led 1,097. And so I said, that's amazing. I said, just put your hands on my head, okay? And joking with him. And then 2 days later, we had our prayer meeting. So he comes to prayer meeting and he comes up to me and he goes, Pastor, 1,103. Just everybody. He went on a cruise and he led 18 people on the cruise to Christ, living for eternity. Come on, living for eternity. Pastor Claude and I were at a conference earlier this year, and this lady spoke, and she talked about redefining evangelism. And she quoted this guy named Daryl Johnson, and it's so stuck with me. It's been kind of, it's been a real challenge, if I can say it this way. It's been a challenge of eternity in my heart. And I'm not perfect, I'm still working it out, but she said, evangelism is joining the conversation that the Holy Spirit is having with the other person. I was like, yeah. Like I remember in my sinful days, right? Like I remember God was always speaking to me. I mean, I was feeling his conviction. I wasn't being obedient to his conviction, but I was feeling his conviction. And there was one time I was so hammered and you know, just out of my mind. And I'm walking, just walking, like almost like we were in a trailer park. Thank you, honey. We were in like a campsite. She wasn't there. We were in a campsite. And, you know, there's just this roadway up the campsite. And at the end of the campsite, there's a light. And I'm just kind of stoned. And I'm just kind of walking. Just kind of trying to stay awake. And I hear the voice of God. And I hear the Lord say, look at your life. You're like before the walking dead was a thing, I was the walking dead. Before zombies were a thing, I was a zombie. I was just kind of, and I heard the Lord speak to me, and he said, Gary, look, if you come to the light, if you serve me, I will use your life. And I went back to the car, and I'm, you know, all my buddies are there, my backslidden Pentecostal friend is there, and I turn to him, and I say, hey, I'm going to give my heart to Jesus, and he swore at me, and he said, let's smoke another joint. We smoked another joint, but from that moment, till that was September 1st to October 20th, God almost every day was speaking to me. And by October 20th, I had a gun pointed at my head, got the living daylight speed out of me, and the next day, I gave my heart to Christ. And from that moment, I have tried to live for eternity. Guys, listen, you only have a short time left, right? Like, even though you're like in your 15, 20, 22, you still got a lot of short time left. Life goes fast. Why not live for eternity? Come on, turn to someone and say, live with eternity in mind. Amen. Listen, Peter says this. He says, let your prayer increase. In times of difficulty, in times of pressure, it is so crucial to pray. Come on, say pray. Pray. No. I want you to say pray. Pray. That's it. With an attitude. Pray, right? I heard that. Amen. Like what does Peter say? He says, be serious. And so what he's saying is this. He's saying, have self-control. Be in one's right mind to preserve one's sanity. In other words, prayer, when we are watching, when we're serious, we're getting into the right mindset. And then he says, be watchful. This is what watchful means. It means to soberly be vigilant, not intoxicated with worldly cares and pleasures. To be morally alert. In this day and age, we need to be morally alert, right? And so the implication here is to be urgent, awake, and free from anything that would intoxicate you from making wrong judgments. Intoxicate you from making right judgments, pardon me. Peter's encouragement is not to let anything grab hold of our hearts that would impair our judgment in times of moral uncertainty and depravity. And prayer is the answer. Simple conversation with God will buffer what is needed to protect and awaken our heart. Prayer is an instrument that removes anxiety. Anybody get feeling anxious sometimes? You look at your stuff, you look at where it's going, you look at life, and you can get anxious. But the Bible says this, don't be anxious for anything. Why? Watch what it says. Don't be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Come on, say prayer. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Watch this. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, prayer moves past your understanding and releases peace into your circumstance. There's some things that I don't understand. Are there some things sometimes you don't understand? Like life sometimes hits you and you go, God, I don't understand. What is going on? And God says, you don't have to understand. Just pray and I'll give you a peace that will go beyond your understanding and guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Come on, God wants to guard your heart and mind in these times. And so when you're walking through a difficult time, come on, say pray. Say it again, pray. Like, come to prayer. Come to prayer summits. Don't think you can do it on your own. Amen, Gary. Hallelujah. Okay, here's another. Number three, my time is going. Love deeply. Come on, say love deeply. Look at when trouble comes, when difficulty comes, you gotta love deeply. And what this means, fervent love. Okay, say fervent love. I was just with the Brazilians. And I gotta be honest with you. I had more men kiss my head and my forehead than I'm really comfortable with. I'm telling you, they are fervent people. Like, they don't tell you. They grab you, they hug you, put your head down and go, mwah. The only person, this is true. The only person who ever kisses me is over there. He kisses my head sometimes. It's a French thing too. God, is that not true? He does. When he first kissed me, I was like, dude, I don't know you that well. You know, like come on. But what's Peter saying? He's saying, look, in times of difficulty, listen, it's not going to get any better. Like, I'm not doom and gloom here. I'm saying there's pressure coming. And so in times of pressure, come on, love deeply. It means this idea of fervent love. It means to stretch out in earnest love. Long-lasting, patient love. Fervent love is what's needed in a growing, unloving, and caring world. Fervent love can bring security. Listen, what casts out fear? What? Yeah, perfect love. Perfected love. Love that goes deep. Love that goes wide. I love this. Grudem, he makes this comment about this verse. He says, when love abounds in a fellowship of Christians, many small offenses and even some large ones are readily overlooked and forgotten. But where love is lacking, every word is viewed with suspicion. Every action is liable to misunderstanding and conflicts about to Satan's perverse delight. Fervent, pure love can cover a multitude of sins. Okay, here's two more. Practice hospitality. This is a very simple, practical message. Practice hospitality. Peter's goal is to encourage the believer that in dark times, we are not to retreat or isolate, but to extend ourselves and serve our world. The Bible says an angry man isolates himself. And when you're going through difficulty and struggle, it's not a time to isolate. It's a time to give. It's a time to open your heart. It's a time to say, here, I'm here, feed me, you know, hospitality. We are to move ourselves further into community. Listen, if you only come to church on Sunday and you're not involved in community the rest of the week, you're missing out. That your pastor just said that. Right? I want to encourage you, get into community, because hospitality is the opening of your resources to others. Generosity is a gift of the heart towards those in our life with no expectation of return. In economic turmoil, we need to extend ourselves with our resources, our time, our talents, and our treasure. The early church could not exist without hospitality and generosity. A lot of those people lost their jobs. They lost their jobs because they wouldn't give to the king. They wouldn't support the rulers of the day. And so a lot of Christians lost their jobs. And so the people who had wealth and they get, the Bible says, remember, like, we don't like reading these scriptures, but the Bible says that they sold houses and they sold land and they brought it to the apostles' feet and they gave it to the poor and the needy. A great spirit of hospitality came on them. And so opening your home and your heart for a place of safety and trust in a season of shaking. Like Peter says this, without grumbling, right? Like, oh, I gotta open our home tonight. Oh man, why do we have to do that? That's the grumbling he's talking about. I remember when we first moved to Hamilton, we had white carpet in our house. We don't have white carpet anymore, but we had white carpet, and we were the youth leaders, and we had kids in our house all the time. There isn't a time where we did not have somebody in our house where stuff was spilled on that white carpet. Like, I just had a system of what I knew how to do to get grape juice out of white carpet. Eventually, I said, we're getting rid of this carpet. Why? Because hospitality sometimes is messy. But I'd rather be open-hearted than closed-hearted. Amen? All right, let's keep going. Last one. Use your gifts to serve others. Now, Peter says it this way, right? Watch. Each one has received a gift. I'd like everybody to look at me for a second. Even that one who, that little boy who yelled out, because I'm going to say this specifically to him. You all have a gift. Everybody has gifts here. Amen, Gary, good point. Everyone has a gift. And so in times of difficulty, use your gifts. Release the gifts of God into the body, because what it does is that God is glorified as we release our gifts. God is talking to his church and through his church. And he's saying, look, steward your gifts. Everybody has to steward them. You are responsible for the gifts that are on your life to build and encourage one another. And this, Peter's talking about two specific gifts, one that's speaking and the other one that's serving, ministering. And so both of those gifts are necessary in the body of Christ. So if you can teach and you can serve and you can speak, get involved in kids ministry. Get involved in small group leading. If you can serve, get involved in ushering. Get involved in the sound. Get involved in whatever area. If you play an instrument, get involved in these things. Don't sit just in church. It's a time to get involved. Amen, Gary, good point. Okay, William Booth, it said this, the tendency of fire is to go out. Watch the fire on the altar of your heart. And this verse here, with the original King James, it says this, therefore, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. And so when Booth wrote that, he was thinking of that, fan into flame. He says the tendency of fire is to go out. So you've got to watch the fire on your heart. If you don't stir your gift, your gift will stay there. It'll be dormant. I was in the nation of Laos, and Laos is a communist country. There are only three churches, and a foreigner cannot speak in the church. You can go, but you can't do anything. And so everything is behind the scenes. It's in like, you know, darkened rooms, and they drive you to darkened places, and then you go, and there's a bunch of people there. And I was meeting this couple, this mom and her two kids, and the pastor told me, he said, her husband was martyred for his faith. He was one of the first martyrs of the nation. And 3 months later, his daughter, their daughter, was killed accidentally. So now she's got a daughter and a son. So they want me to go in there and minister. I'm thinking, me going to minister? How about they pray for me? Like, these guys are generals in this nation, right? And so as I was praying, I was stirring up my gift, I had this bottle of water. And on the water, it said tiger's head. And immediately the Lord just kind of stirred me, and I said, I'm cutting the tiger's head off. In fact, all opposition will cease. I'm removing them from the province. And in my heart, I thought, well, that's a little intense. Just chill, bud. And so we prayed for them and just ministered to them. They were crying, ministered to their daughter about going overseas, ministered to the son. I said, a man of peace is coming to help you and strengthen you. Well, I didn't know this, but her son's name meant man of peace, and he was moving down to support his mom. And I didn't know this about their daughter, but she had just received a scholarship to go overseas. So I leave. I'm flying through China. I'm stuck in the Beijing airport. And so I'm on a VPN, and I'm looking at my emails. And the missionary sends me an email. And she goes, hey, do you remember that tiger's head prophecy? What we didn't know was that there were two guys in the province that she was in that were giving this lady trouble and pain and hardship. They were giving her death threats. They read this morning, this is Monday morning, they read this morning, Monday morning, that those two men were fired and completely removed from the province. Come on, in times of difficulty, God wants you to stir up your gifts because what is in you is not for you, it's for people who are walking through difficulty. And God wants to give you a word in season to those who are weary. Amen, Gary, hallelujah. Listen, I'm challenging the church. Listen, God has given you gifts. And in deep, dark times, God wants you to stir up your gift and release it into the community, into this community, and believe that God can use you. God can speak to you. And God wants to use you. You've got to have eternity in your heart. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. I figured somebody was eventually going to say that. Hallelujah. Would you stand to your feet?
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.